Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio. This will be, of course, our special pre-show edition to tonight's Big Hell in the Cell. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing Hell in the Cell, latest predictions, news, as well as some talk on SmackDown, a few other things at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I guess the question that's on most people's minds is, why was the Roman Reigns Rey Mysterio match switched to SmackDown on Friday? Now, obviously, it was a last-minute decision, and we've been all over the WWE for months about making these last-minute decisions. And a few different scenarios have crept in as to why this could potentially have happened. So we're going to give you the scenarios and then tell you what the likelihood of them are. The first one is something big is happening tonight involving Roman Reigns, and they had to get the Rey Mysterio thing out of the way to get that done. Have to forgive my voice, a little weak. I've been doing a little bit of extracurricular activity, singing, and... Fortunately, it's left me a little hoarse. Now, is that a viable possibility? Yeah, that's a viable possibility. Maybe they do have something planned big for Roman Reigns tonight. But certainly if they do, it's going to be a complete surprise because they did not indicate this in any way, shape, or form on SmackDown. So I'd say it's possible, but it's really a bit of a long shot. Second reason, of course, is that Fox wanted to have the biggest ratings they possibly could going into this weekend. Well, if that's the case, then they succeeded because SmackDown actually drew very, very close to 2 million people. Didn't miss it by like maybe 50,000 people. So if that's the reason, I guess they got what they wanted, but they also took a potential, I would call the main event, of the pay-per-view completely out of the pay-per-view. So it seems to me there has to be more of a reason than just that. Now, the third reason is an intriguing one. Apparently, Roman Reigns now has in his contract he will only wrestle last or first. He will not do any matches in between. He either starts the show or he ends the show. Now, perhaps there's something big planned for the ending of the show that did not involve Roman Reigns, and that precluded him from being the ending of the show. But then why wouldn't they just let him go first? Usually you do want to split up the Hell in the Cell matches anyway. Then there was another theory, and that theory is they had to take away one of the Hell in the Cell matches because you had no woman's Hell in the Cell match. And after Triple H's comments and after some of the ridiculous woke culture coming after wrestling, they said, oh, well, we can't have this. It looks like you're excluding the women, even though there are three matches on the card that are women's matches. Not good enough. You don't have a women's Hell in a Cell match. So they decided, well, we don't want to take Roman Reigns out of the Hell in a Cell. We've already advertised it. So we'll give it to him on Friday. That's probably the reason, folks. It's probably the reason. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Because what did they do on Friday? Directly after announcing you're going to get the Hell in a Cell match tonight, they made Bianca Belair and Bayley a Hell in a Cell match. Very unusual. Nothing was said about it before. And they never have three. So it seems like what they did was basically bow down to the mob and say, okay, you're right, we got two scheduled matches in Hell in a Cell, and they're both from our male roster, so I guess we'll move one. And they decided Roman and Ray would be the best overall one to move, I guess. They didn't want to do it on Monday night, so they only had Friday, so they had to do Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio. If this is the reason, and I suspect it is, if this is the reason, this is complete and utter garbage. No one cares to see Bianca Belair and Bayley and Hell in a Cell. It means very little. Honestly. This entire feud is based on somebody laughing at somebody. It means absolutely nothing to be held in Hell in a Cell. Absolutely nothing. Whereas Roman and Rey, well, they had a big story to tell. So if this is now getting in the way of the WWE being able to do business the way they want to do business, this is a problem. This is a huge problem. And now you will notice, and of course they're going to add a match. They're going to add a pre-show match or whatever. But if you look at the card, it's equally balanced. There are three women's matches and three men's matches. You can't run a wrestling federation this way. Cannot do it. Now they'll add a match, and it'll be a men's match most likely. But that's a pre-show match. It doesn't matter. The official lineup shows equality. Here's the problem with this. There's a difference between equality and equity. Nobody wants to see, at least nobody I know, I haven't run into one fan who said my most look forward to match tonight is any of the women's matches. Here's what I'm hearing from fans. Rhea Ripley's a disappointment up here, mostly because of the way she's been booked. We're getting a little bit tired of Charlotte Flair, and we already know she's going to be handed over that belt again, if not tonight, then very soon. So we're not really into that match. They're not pulling the belt away from Bianca Belair this early to hand it back to Bayley, so this match is irrelevant. And who wants to see Shayna Baszler fall to the spooky supernatural BS? It's what I'm hearing from fans. Now, what I was hearing from fans about the rest of the card was, do you think there's even a chance that Rey Mysterio could pull this out in Hell in a Cell? Do you think there's any chance that Jimmy Uso turns against him? Do you think Dominic plays a factor? Do you think this all turns into a big deal? Do you think maybe John Cena shows up? Do you think maybe something big is going to happen? I don't know, but I do know that that's what most people were talking about, meaning that they wanted to tune into the pay-per-view to see that, and now they don't have to. I also didn't hear too many people saying, can't wait to see Drew McIntyre against Bobby Lashley for the 25th time. I didn't hear too many people saying that. I didn't hear too many people saying, can't wait to see the fifth or sixth match with Seth Rollins and Cesaro. And as good as they often are, most people are sick of Sami Zayn and KO. You destroyed your pay-per-view. You kind of were a one-trick pony in this pay-per-view anyway. You had that one good match that had a really good storyline. The rest of them were iffy, real iffy. And you pulled the one that had the one good storyline. So now we're going into this pay-per-view going, eh, it was not a good idea. And I realized that Fox gets the benefit of the ratings, and that's fine. But if this was done for no other reason than to try to show some kind of feigned equality, there is no way there can be equality, and here's why. There aren't enough fans who pay their money to see the women perform. I'm sorry if that sounds misogynistic or it sounds sexist or it sounds whatever, but here's a problem. Facts don't have a gender. How many people go see women's basketball as opposed to the NBA? Huh? How many? Do you see the UFC saying, well, if we have four men's fights, we got to have four women? No. This is only this ridiculous, I don't even know what to call it, that the WWE has to stumble all over themselves. to try to prove some kind of fake equality when it shouldn't even exist. You go with the people, male or female, who's going to draw and who's going to draw you money. That's it. You don't have any obligation. You don't have to say, well, we realize that there's nobody on Raw that, you know, women's division that would draw flies. Well, we got to get them in there because if we don't, we're going to hear it from the general public. Well, what the hell are you talking about? Put the best card possible you can, and don't worry about what the genders are. I'm not against Bianca Belair defending her belt. I'm not against Rhea Ripley defending hers. But why did you have to have one of them be in a Hell in a Cell? Because someone mentioned to you that, oh, well, you having two male Hell in a Cell matches and zero female ones. Mike, I think that's what it was, because as much as the other solutions seem plausible, you can usually drive a hole in it one way or the other. So this is the only one that seems really super plausible.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I guess, yeah, ratings and stuff, and if you're going to kowtow to somebody, you're going to kowtow to Big Daddy Fox, right? And
I guess.
Equity is, for lack of a better term in my mind, bullshit. But that's for another type of show in another place, all right? I mean, and we've seen that, you know. So to me, if this is all about equity, then it's wrong, you know.
Well, it is wrong, and you've taken the real interesting match, the one that everyone was actually waiting to see, and you removed it. Now, no offense to Drew McIntyre. I really like Drew McIntyre, and I think he's done a fantastic job over on Raw. But the problem is you've let his character grow stale, and you've let his feud grow stale, and now there's just not that many people who really care that much. I asked a whole bunch of people if tomorrow night Drew McIntyre wins this belt, does it make Raw any better, any worse, or does it basically stay the same? And every single person said it makes no difference. It doesn't make any difference. And a couple of people pointed out the real obvious, and that is they wouldn't have MVP trying to recruit the New Day, or at least Kofi Kingston, if Bobby Lashley was going to lose the belt, because then Kofi or Xavier could say, you couldn't even keep the belt around him. What are you going to do for us? The most likely scenario is that Drew McIntyre loses, probably illegally, maybe with the help of Kofi Kingston or someone else. He loses. He's probably going to get drafted over to SmackDown and begin his feud with Roman Reigns. That's probably what's going to happen. Because I doubt Drew McIntyre's winning the belt. Doesn't make a lot of sense, and it really doesn't make any difference. That's the thing. If you said, well, this is going to make a huge difference in Raw, maybe they'd give it to him. I don't see it making a huge difference at all. So, Todd, did it seem to you as if they threw away their main event on SmackDown for pretty much no reason?
To me, it seems pretty weird when they did that. And, you know, it's the first time ever on network television they put a Hell in a Cell match on SmackDown. I was like, this is not Sunday. It's Friday. I was like thinking of that. Like, come on now.
It's very unusual. And again, all of the possible explanations, Fox wants a ratings boost. What are you talking about? They only got like 100,000 extra people. Okay, that's substantial, but it's not earth-shattering. Oh, Roman Reigns only wants to go last or first. Well, he could have went first tonight if you have something big planned for last. That's all. And by the way, I don't believe that. I believe he may have that in his contract as a protection to himself. But I believe if you said to Roman Reigns, well, we got this huge, huge angle planned at the end, we're going to have somebody come in and, you know, a big surprise, and Drew McIntyre's going to lose, but it's going to be a big surprise, so we can't have you go last. I'm sure, you know, he already said he'd go first, and I'm sure if that couldn't happen for some bizarre reason, I'm pretty sure he'd go next to last or whatever. I'm pretty sure you'd talk him into it. So, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. It's the only plausible explanation I can think of, because the moment you announced it on the show, within moments, Bianca Belair is challenging Bayley to put it in Hell in a Cell for no real reason. I mean, the feud didn't escalate in any way, shape, or form. There's already been the back jumping. There's already been the laughing. There's already been the whatever. And Bianca Belair, if she cuts that promo one more time, I'm telling you right now, they're scripting her promos, and they're making a mistake. They said, oh, man, remember that WrestleMania moment where she legitimately cried and everybody was like, man, that was cool. This really means a lot to her. Remember that moment afterwards where she said, you know, all my life I was told I couldn't do this, and this felt like a redemption. Great, but you don't have to repeat it every single week. So when Sasha Banks comes back, she's going to say, Sasha Banks is a bully. And I dealt with bullies my whole life, and they always told me I wasn't good enough, and I wasn't this, and I wasn't that. And when I beat Sasha Banks, it'll be – I get it. Every opponent now is going to be a bully that you have to overcome. You're going to have to get a little bit more interesting with her character, or this is going to get old really, really quick. Because it's already getting old to me. So it's the only thing I can think of, folks, is that they took a look at the card and they said, you're right, we don't have a women's Hell in a Cell match, so we'll make sure we have one. Okay. You know what? You cheated the fans. Because maybe it's going to be the exact same match. Maybe Rey Mysterio and Roman Reigns put on the exact same match they were going to put on. Probably they did. But it didn't have to have commercial breaks, and I'm sure you could have done a little bit more than you did on network television, and I think you might have had a little more aggressive match had it not been on television. So I think you cheated your fans. And if you're running your wrestling federation based upon a minority of people, even though they're the loudest mouths, see, that's the thing people don't understand. People say, well, I don't know, it must be the majority of the people feel that way. No, they don't. No, they don't. It's just that these people won't shut up. That's the thing. You could have a crowd of 10,000 people, and if there's 200 that are standing up cheering for someone, it sounds like the rest of the crowd must agree. No, they don't agree. They're just not standing up cheering. Well, that's the problem. While everybody else sits on their hands and says, well, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to offend anybody, a small group of people yell and scream and holler and get their way. And Triple H knows he stepped in it by saying what he said about the they're not going to be a women's show, and he knows. So this is their penance. Oh, you can't say we weren't equal. We had the same amount of women's matches as men's. We had a Hell in a Cell women's match. If they had planned Bayley and Bianca to be a Hell in a Cell match, you would have had it promoted before Friday when the show was Sunday. Quite obviously. So think, folks. That's why it was changed. It's the only plausible explanation. Now, as far as the rest of SmackDown is concerned on Friday, before we get to our Hell in a Cell predictions and news, well, it was all built around, obviously, Roman and Rey, Hell in a Cell. But you made some critical mistakes. And probably the most critical mistake you made was overtelling or too quickly telling the Jimmy Uso story. So Jimmy Uso right in the beginning comes in and says, well, I was thinking about what you said last week, and you're absolutely right, and I'm ready to go out there with you if you need me. And, well, that's a quick turnaround. That's way too quick of a turnaround. The way to tell this story properly is to say to Roman, I don't agree with a damn thing you're saying. I don't agree with a damn thing you're doing, and I'm not for this, and I'm not recognizing you as a head of the table. But what I am saying is this, if I'm with you, I can keep an eye on my brother. And I can make sure you don't mistreat him, and you better not. Because now it's not just about Jay bowing down to what you say. It's about me keeping my eye on you too. So, yeah, I'm with you for now, but I'm just letting you know ahead of time. This better be all about the family. Because if it turns out to be just all about you, you and me are going to have a problem. Then you say, okay, well, that's great. We're going to get a lot of this story to tell. No, he just instantly says, okay, well, I thought about it. You're right. I'm willing to do whatever. I'm willing to be a lapdog. Yes, I know he did say, well, I don't agree with everything you do. It's not enough. You told the story too quickly. And then at the end, of course, him coming in and raising his hand and watching him powerbomb Rey Mysterio, or, I mean, put him in the submission hold again and not doing anything about it. So you've got the Usos as a heel tag team now, I guess. And that's telling the story way too quickly. Way too quickly. I mean, there are people speculating they pulled Rey because it's going to be Jimmy and Roman in Hell in a Cell. Nah, wrong. They just said, well, we got to hurry up with his story. Jimmy, just go ahead and, you know, get with him and just say, yeah, you're absolutely right. Everything you say is right. Suddenly Roman Reigns is Bray Wyatt. See, this is the thing I'm starting not to like. What made this angle special is that Jay is naive, and Jay remembers the better times when they were kids. And Jay's willing to go along because he's a little more naive than his brother, a little less streetwise, and he's saying, this is the easiest way for me to get along and not cause any trouble. Jimmy comes back and says, they ain't working on me. The crap you're spouting ain't working on me. You can keep talking, but you ain't getting through. Now all of a sudden, it's Roman Reigns. Suddenly, whatever he says, everybody just believes and they follow him like he's a cult leader. This is dumb. And you're starting to hurt the angle. And you better be very careful because the best angle you got, it's the only angle you got, really. I can't think of another one that anybody's really caring about. So whatever your writing team does, they better be extra special careful on this. Now, I admit, when Jimmy first said that, I said, Jimmy's lying through his teeth. He's going to cost Roman the belt tonight on Father's Day. And then Roman is going to say, that was bullshit, and I want a rematch at Hell in a Cell. I really thought they might do that. But I quickly realized that's not happening. So in that respect, Mike, I don't think they're doing a good job right now with this storyline because, again, they're starting to rush things and they're starting to do things that are illogical.
You know, I can't, was it last week or last Friday or whatever, Todd said it. Now, Todd's not here, but Todd said it. Right now, with certain things, they go from beginning, they skip a bunch of chapters, right? We don't want to go directly to the end. We want the next chapter. And this isn't the next chapter. This is basically the end, well, maybe not the end of the story totally, but maybe the end of the first act, right?
Yeah.
The end of the first act.
I agree with that.
This is the end of the first act. I mean, now, what's the second act? I don't know. But this the end of the first act, and this is just too soon for that end to come, you know? We want that. We want, at least for a short amount of time, we want that. Between Roman and Jimmy, you know?
Absolutely. You want the continuation of the tension. And what would have made a hell of a lot more sense is if he found Jay. I mean, if he had came in on Friday night and said, yeah, I thought about what you said last Friday, and I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're trying to blow smoke up my ass. I don't think this is all about the family at all. I don't think this is all about you being the head of the table, the tribal chief. I think this is just all about you and your ego. And I don't think I did anything to Jay. But I'm going to go find him. And I'm going to see what Jay's take is on it. And then I'll let you know what he says. Then if Jay Uso was to say, if you really love me, if you're really my brother, if you really want to be my tag team partner, can't we just go along with this? If it gets too bad, we can always get out, and you're here now to help watch over me. Can't we just all get along as a family and hope for the best? And then if Jimmy was to say, I'll do this, if this is against my better judgment, but if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. But just know this, we're not going to wait till it gets real bad. If Roman continues the way he's going, you and I, we're getting out of this. And if Jay's, okay, I'll agree. Right, fine, that's good. As long as we can all just get along for now. Then I would have said, well, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. So Jimmy's reluctantly going along. Jay's caught in the middle saying, I don't know which side is telling me the truth, and Roman is trying to use them both for his advantage. You've got three very good principled characters there who have a separate agendas. That's good writing. Not, this is very poor writing. Because nobody goes from, you purposely got me disqualified in a tag team match. You purposely don't want us to be the champions. You purposely have been using my brother as your own personal slave to, you're right, that's, those are all good things in 1 week. You just don't go, it just doesn't happen. So I think they told the story too quick. Now let's talk about telling the story too slow. How in the world many times, you're killing Cesaro. You know, maybe I was wrong about Cesaro. And listen, when I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. I said about Cesaro many times, one of the most talented wrestlers in this federation, a guy that if you really let him loose to do what he could do, you're going to be amazed at what he can do. And I still believe that. However, I am beginning to believe that Cesaro cannot do promos. He just can't do them. I don't know why. Because I've heard him a million times when he's not doing promos, just being himself, and he's very charismatic, and he's very articulate, and he's very smart, and he seems to be able to handle himself great on interviews and things, but man, oh man, he just can't carry it off when it's a scripted promo of some kind. It's just weird. And Seth Rollins is one of the best wrestlers and best promo guys out there. And if he can't help carry this feud, then I'm not sure Cesaro's the right guy. And I'm telling you, I could care less about this match. Seth is not going to win because they've got nothing for Seth right now. We all know Seth is in a holding pattern waiting for Becky Lynch to get ready to come back, and then they're probably going to flip Seth's character. So he's not winning. And where does Cesaro go from here? So to be perfectly honest with you, this is just a rehashed match because we don't have anything storyline-wise for any of these guys. And that's what this whole entire card sort of feels like, except for one or two matches. They've told this story way too slow, and it has not progressed the right way. And instead of Seth Rollins being the guy saying, everything you stand for, I'm against, what does Cesaro stand for? What does Cesaro ever say? All Cesaro did was say, you know, I think I'm a good wrestler. If you give me a good opportunity, I think I could do well. I'm looking for an opportunity. What is it that Cesaro stands for that Seth is against? I don't get it. So that makes no sense. So instead of that, Seth should have been the guy saying, look, I guess you don't get it. I know what's inside you. And you hold it back. You never release it. You still haven't released it. And you probably won't again because you're scared to. Because truthfully, you're scared of success. You're scared of what might happen to you if you really unleash what's inside you. I've tried everything. I've sneak attacked you. I've done this. I've done that. I've called you every name in the book. And here you are letting me walk onto this set, sit here right in front of you, and you're doing nothing because you want to portray yourself as this gentleman. You want to portray yourself as I'm much more civilized or whatever. But I know what's in you. And until you let it out, you'll never be successful. So am I worried about you on Sunday? No, I'm not. Because you don't have what it takes to let it out of you. If you did, I might actually be worried. Then we'd say, okay, now we get it. Seth Rollins is trying to pull something out of Cesaro. Is he going to be successful in doing that? Are we going to see a different side of Cesaro, a more vicious side of Cesaro? Then you'd have at least something to go by. But right now, Mike, this is just a dead feud.
It really is. I mean, it's just dead. And we know what their ultimate plans are with Seth Rollins, because, frankly, and that we need to talk about this. There are rumors that Becky has shown up at Performance Center, and she's getting
yes.
into shape. So, and we know about that, and we know where that's going, right? Because we've talked about it almost ad nauseum here. That once when she sticks her head out of that curtain, we know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many branches on the tree you could have used if you used my scenario. You could have had Cesaro really snap here tonight and really beat the hell out of Seth Rollins, or you could have had Seth Rollins be right. And when Cesaro has the chance to finish him off with something, you know, bad, the referee's down, he's got the chair in his hand, he won't use it. And Seth cheat and win. And then when Becky Lynch does come back, let Cesaro off TV for a while. When Becky Lynch does come back with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins changes his attitude and says, you know, part of me just went nuts. I don't know what to tell you, but having my wife here and my child and everything, it's changed me. And then Cesaro waylay him, maybe even waylay Becky Lynch, and say, this is what you wanted from me, right? And Seth's saying, I accidentally created this, and now I'm going to have to stop it. That could be good. That could be pretty good. No, you can't. You can't do anything like that. Just have Seth dress up in a funny suit and say, I'm against everything you stand for, when Cesaro has never said he stands for anything except being a good athlete. You're against being a good athlete? God, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Now, the jewel in the rough that the WWE might have is that now that they've made Otis shave his beard and act a little meaner, he actually does look like a throwback of an old heel, an old school heel. And if they're smart, they will run with that for a while. If you're smart, you'll run with Chad Gable has him totally brainwashed, and he'll do whatever Chad Gable says, and most of what Chad Gable says is, you know, sick him. What they did to the Street Profits two straight weeks, I guess Montez Ford is legit really injured. So that's going to hold back what probably was going to be a match this pay-per-view anyway. That's going to probably postpone that for a while. Dawkins took the beating this week. And certainly Otis looked really good delivering it. You could potentially push this character. I just don't know how far you can push him, because you've got a heel champion, and that's not going to mean much. And you also got a heel. All your champions are heels, really. So Otis has nowhere to go right now. Speaking of which, we got the debut of Commander Aziz, kind of the debut. We saw him on Raw Underground, but still. We have the in-ring debut of Colonel Aziz. I mean, they're selling him. They're being told to sell him like crazy. They're making him the monster. They're making him the new Braun Strowman. There's no question. And the Sami Zayn thing, well, that just furthered whatever. You know, they're going to have one more feud. The Sami Zayn thing has grown really old. Now, I may be biased, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like Sami Zayn. And I haven't liked Sami Zayn since a fan actually sent me a video of him asking for an autograph at an airport, and when there was not one other person, by the way. Not one other person was bugging Sami Zayn. Guy was following behind him saying, could I just get a quick picture? Could you just turn around for a quick picture? Could I just get an autograph? Sami Zayn's talking to some guy and eventually turns around and says, could you quit bothering me? Rather than to just say, here, yeah, sure, quick picture, absolutely, thanks for watching. No, it's, could you quit bothering me? Oh, that's bothering you. Well, you know what, I'll quit bothering watching your matches. How's that? That's a legit video. So they can't say it didn't happen. You can't say, oh, whatever. You can say I was having a bad day. It doesn't matter. I don't care what kind of a bad day you're having. There's plenty of us who have bad days. If somebody was to say, can I get a quick picture? Of course you can. Of course I'll sign a piece of paper. Of course I will. It's not like there's a million people following me. Well, you say, God, if I sign for one, I got to sign for them all. No, he was all alone. Not a soul in sight. And the answer was, could you quit bothering me? I really don't give a damn what Sami Zayn does. But even if I did, I don't now, because this is dumb. The whole documentary thing's getting old. I'm still making the documentary. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody cares. Is he a good talker? Yeah, he's a good talker. Is he a good worker? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying he's not a good athlete, but I was never a big Sami Zayn fan even before I found this out. I don't think he's an excellent worker, because he doesn't have enough charisma to be an excellent worker. So him and Kevin Owens are going to feud again, fine. Kevin Owens is going to win again, because they got to push KO to a certain extent. They got to start pushing some of the faces, because all the heels are in power on SmackDown. So they're going to have to start pushing some of the faces. If nothing but heels win, then there's no reason to, who's going to be the next challengers for all these championships and things. So they're going to have to start pushing some faces. So KO will win. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, at this stage of the game, SmackDown's sort of almost a one-trick pony with the Roman Reigns thing, and they're starting to kind of fade away on that.
Right, and that's sad when it's still hot. I mean, they do this all the time. Something gets really, really hot, and fans get interested in it, and then they allow it to fade away, you know? I mean, at one point, you couldn't stop the Fiend from selling things. You couldn't stop the Fiend. You know, you couldn't stop him. And now where is he? Now, granted, there are rumors about him coming back. We'll see that. I'll believe that when I see it, right? But,
yeah,
they do this all the time. And that's the thing. Something gets hot, and then, well, we stop. They get lazy with it, in essence.
No, you're absolutely right. And I'll give you another example. Alexa Bliss. When this first happened with Alexa Bliss, the fans all said, my God, she's doing an excellent job. My God, dude, she's one of my favorite characters now. She's so good at this. This is really creepy. This is getting great. And she's so good at what she's doing. And she was. And guess what? She still is. But you can't make applesauce out of crap. And they're giving her crap now. And now fans see it as, you took away the Fiend and stole his gimmick. And you're just not the Fiend. So we don't like it. And they're blaming Alexa Bliss for it. It's not her fault. She's doing what they're telling her to do. And she's doing it well. It's just that it's crap. We have said from day one, the angle was clear. And this is why, remember now why I said they changed the Roman Reigns match. The angle was clear. Alexa Bliss was brainwashed. She's being held against her will, technically, by a maniacal Bray Wyatt, who somehow has gotten into her head. She's become this alter ego, whatever it is, maybe possessed by Sister Abigail, whatever it happens to be. Occasionally when she wrestles and she takes a big bump, she snaps out of it for a minute. And people are beginning to realize this is not Alexa. Somebody's got to do something. And that's how you promote the feuds that the Fiend or Bray Wyatt was going to have, and even the Alexa Bliss feuds. Could you imagine, just take this scenario for a second. I know it's fantasy booking, and I don't like to get into a ton of fantasy booking, but just think about this, folks. If Alexa Bliss snapped out of it once or twice, and then finally She fights Nikki Cross in this big, you know, match that you're building up. And she injures her, severely injures her. I mean, you got to have Nikki Cross take a bump. And then snaps out of it for a minute and is standing over Nikki Cross or leaning over Nikki Cross saying, what did I do? What did I do? Then you begin to realize, my God, she's injured her best friend. She's a soul in torment, and Bray Wyatt's pulling the strings, and somebody's got to stop him. But who's going to stop him? Well, you had the guy, and you fired him, because supposedly Braun Strowman was in love with her for a little while. Remember during this whole mixed tag team thing, and they were supposed to have this little fake romance or whatever, and he was on her side? My God. That you even put her in the match against him, Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt, and you even put her in that match. You could have had Braun Strowman say, nobody knows Bray Wyatt better than me. And to be honest with you, I fear absolutely no one but him, because I know what he can do. But that doesn't mean I can't stop him, because I can, and I think he knows I can. That would be good. I'm telling you, you'd have a lot of people into this angle of what's going to happen. Can she snap out of it long enough to help her own rescue, or is she going to impede? Is she luring Braun Strowman into a trap? Is all this a trap? Maybe she's only pretending to snap out of it. What the hell's going to happen? Maybe she's going to recruit Braun Strowman into the family. Lord knows what's going to happen. You have a lot of branches on that tree. Instead, you just said, oh, we like this angle with Alexa, and she's doing it really well, so we don't need the Fiend. This is better for the women's division. No, it's not. You're going to destroy the women's division. The only reason Alexa Bliss should be wrestling is as Bray Wyatt's puppet to injure people or hurt people and occasionally watch her snap out of her alter ego and ask people for help. You could certainly have the announcers play it up saying, I feel sorry for Alexa Bliss, because in those moments where she's Alexa Bliss, she's remorseful and she's asking for help, and nobody, how do you help this girl? And you can have the heel announcer say, it's a trick. She doesn't need any help. This is just a Bray Wyatt ploy. You know what it is. And we wouldn't know. It would be an excellent, long-term angle that you could have used. And Todd, they don't want to.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with this Alexa Bliss and the Braun Strowman thing and the Fiend thing and the Nikki Cross thing. They should have kept Braun Strowman involved in this angle, but no, they don't.
Then you just don't hand over a whole gimmick. So now Alexa Bliss is going to do what? She's going to go in and rain lightning down on Shayna Baszler? Who cares? Well, if she can do that, then just give her the belt. Who the hell would want to fight her? See, that's another thing. You get into this weird zone where you say, I don't care how brave I am. I'm not stupid. And I'm not afraid to fight any wrestler, but if she's going to rain lightning down upon me or fire down upon me, if she has that ability, yeah, I guess I'm not wrestling her. To hell with her. It's not worth it. See, that's the problem. That's where the big problem occurs. So, Mike, I think the scenario that we all had here on this show worked best for Alexa Bliss, and they've totally ignored it.
And they totally ignored it. Here's something else they could have went. Here's another way they could have went with it. Alexa Bliss tries to recruit Braun Strowman, all right? And Braun Strowman says, okay, I'll do it, only to turn on, not Alexa Bliss, turn on Nikki Cross, thereby forcing Nikki Cross to go and get somebody else for help. Now,
Mike could have done so many different angles, but again, we could sit in a meeting and talk about this for hours and say we could go many different directions. We could have Nikki Cross try to recruit Braun Strowman, and Braun Strowman say, "Well, you know, Alexa's special to me, so I'll try." Or we could have had Braun Strowman just do it on his own without Nikki Cross involvement, saying, I know what Bray Wyatt's capable of doing. He did it to me for a while, but I broke out of it. She's not out of it yet. You could have had Alexa Bliss beg him for help when she was back to her normal self for a minute. Or you could have had her say, my advice to you is stay far away from me. I want nothing to do with you. And I never did. I never did. That way you'd say, well, who's talking? We don't even know who's talking here. Is that the real Alexa Bliss? Is that a brainwash thing? There's so many things you could do, Mike. There's so many things you could do. Now, you can't have Nikki Cross go get her husband because her husband is a jabron. And it would never be believed that he would ever be able to beat Bray Wyatt, so you can't do that. But you could have Nikki Cross go get somebody big, some big name. And certainly, it would have been better than John Cena against Roman Reigns if, because remember, the last time we saw John Cena, he was in that weird match with Bray Wyatt. So if John Cena came back and said, I don't know what the hell I went through last time, but I know what Nikki's going through because I went through it. Or Nikki Alexa's going through because I went through it. But I don't want one of those funhouse matches. I just want The Fiend one-on-one with me. That would have been okay. There's so many branches on the tree, Mike, that you could have went with this. You could have kept this going for 6 months.
Yes, and then ultimately what happens, you know? Ultimately, well, you could have went both ways, ultimately. You could have, at the end of it, you could have had her ultimately break out of it and get back to, you know, the goddess and all that stuff. Or you could have had her say, it's always been this, I've always been this way, I just hit it well, and keep going, you know?
Well, see, that's the beauty of it. But what you have to remember here is this. The reason this worked is because everybody liked Alexa Bliss. The girls liked her because they thought she was really cool and they liked her dress and her mannerism and her whatever. So the female wrestling fans liked Alexa Bliss. The male wrestling fans have always liked Alexa Bliss. So she had all the sympathy in the world. That's what you want out of a good face, is that you're able to get sympathy from the crowd. Well, you pick the right person. When The Fiend first attacked Alexa Bliss, there was a lot of crowd sympathy for Alexa Bliss. And then the fans sort of liked her new character, but if she kept snapping out of it and begging for help, fans would have slowly went to her side saying, I can't wait to see Alexa snap out of this. You know, or of course you would have had some fans who wanted to keep it going, but still, you would have had the perfect scenario to keep this thing going for months and months and months. And really, the real way to do it, if I was a writer, I would have had Braun Strowman fail. The Fiend beats him. Find somebody else that you're really promoting. I don't care who it is. To say, look, Braun Strowman did it wrong. Beating the Fiend won't help. You got to cut the head of the snake off. And guess who the head of the snake is? The head of the snake is Bray Wyatt. You destroy Bray Wyatt, you destroy the Fiend. I don't want to wrestle the Fiend. I want to wrestle Bray Wyatt. Then you'd have, I see where it's going. If you can get Bray Wyatt, if you can beat him, the Fiend goes with him. And so does the spell. That would have been very interesting. Because then it would have almost looked like all this time we were thinking the Fiend is the main problem. Fiend is the one to overcome. It's not true. He was more vicious and more scary looking, but that smiling, happy, laughing guy, that's the real evil force. That's the force you have to overcome. He's masquerading it as the other guy because he knows that's the one you're going to go after. But in truth, it's this one. That would have been fascinating. Would have been really fascinating. And they could have pulled that off well. So nobody cares what's going to happen with Alexa Bliss tonight. We know what's going to happen. Shayna Baszler's going to lose. It's going to be some supernatural stuff. Okay. Well, then I don't know. Then whoever the women's champion is after this, you might as well hand her the belt. Because if she can make things fall backstage, then I guess she can make the ring open up and swallow you. I just don't know how she could possibly lose. It's kind of silly. Anyway, so SmackDown really this week, I'm sorry. I mean, with Hell in the Cell, it should have been an A-plus show, right? But I'm looking at this show and saying, it's feeling like an average show. Now, did Ray and Roman have a great match? Yeah, they had a really good match, actually. And you can give all the credit in the world to Rey Mysterio. Because Rey Mysterio could certainly have said, if you think you're beating my son up, humiliating the Mysterio family, and then I'm going to take a loss on Father's Day weekend, trying to stand up and be a good father, you're nuts. I don't have to do that. He could have done that. He could have said, you know, I'll go in there, but he's going to have to cheat to win. There's going to have to be some way where it's like, oh, well, naturally Ray lost. Look what Roman did. No, he beat him clean. He tapped out. And Ray bumped for him something fierce. So, look, Ray's a consummate professional. He did a very good job, and he got a lot of heat for Roman Reigns, so Roman should be thankful of that. We all knew he wasn't going to win anyway. We just thought this was going to lead to a greater angle. We thought maybe Dominic would get in that cage, and he'd say, Dominic's the one I want then on Sunday, something like that. It didn't happen. Didn't happen. So just to have him beat Rey Mysterio, we knew Rey wasn't going to be the champ. I mean, nobody went in Friday night saying Rey's going to win. And then what are you going to do on Sunday? And, you know, he's going to do what? Rematch? Could it have been possible? I suppose, but not likely. So there we have it. It was really just an average show. And I think there was a couple of steps backwards in the Roman Reigns Uso story. Instead of steps forward, it's starting to backpedal. You better watch it. So I wasn't enamored with this show as much as I thought I would be. I would say it was average at best. Did it make me want to watch the pay-per-view anymore? No, I almost felt like I did watch the pay-per-view. See, that's the problem. A lot of fans said that to me. Well, I sort of did watch the pay-per-view. The only match I was really super interested in, I saw Friday. Man, you don't want that. You definitely don't want that. By the way, we should say congratulations to Cody and Brandi Rhodes on the birth of the new baby. Obviously, that's a great thing. A lot of babies going around here. You know, Moxley and Renee had their baby, and now Cody and Brandi had their baby. So I guess this is what happens when you're in lockdown a lot. But anyway, congratulations to all of them. Let's get into a little bit about our predictions here on Hell in a Cell. So let's just start from what probably is going to be the opening match, I would imagine, which would be Shayna Baszler versus Alexa Bliss. Because they probably want to get all the supernatural stuff out of the way. There's absolutely no way Alexa Bliss can lose this match. If Alexa Bliss loses this match, her character is done, it's finished, it's over, it's kaput. Even if Nia Jax interferes, which I see no reason why Nia Jax would interfere because she's not too happy with Shayna Baszler manhandling her boyfriend, even if Reginald himself interferes to try to get back on the good graces of Shayna Baszler, she's not losing. She's just not losing. Shayna Baszler is going to take the fall to Alexa Bliss. And as much as everyone may like Alexa Bliss, and again, has she done an excellent job with this character? Phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. But I'm sorry, you can't take Shayna Baszler out like this. You're destroying Shayna Baszler. You basically have destroyed her anyway. She went from what could have been the biggest female heel in the WWE, who could really back it up because she has some credentials, to she's cannon fodder. She's cannon fodder. I wouldn't bet against Mandy Rose or Dana Brooke taking her out. I wouldn't bet against it. Not at this stage. There's something about her that Vince McMahon does not like. Not sure what it is. Because she's got all the tools. She's pretty good on the mic. She's intimidating looking. She's got legit credentials. I don't know what more you want. and she's the first person going to get thrown up to Alexa. Now, I know you might say Nia, but no, because look what happened in that match. It was a disqualification. Now, will Nia figure into this match? Probably, because that's probably the next person she's going to fight. But still, I don't see her losing, Mike. So what's your thoughts on Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler?
I don't see her losing either, and that's what, I mean, until they decide that the character is over, she's not going to lose, and that includes Charlotte Flair. Doesn't matter, you know? That may not make Charlotte Flair happy, but it's got to be that way, because that's the way, I mean, it's like they painted themselves into a corner. And as far as SmackDown, yeah, I'm going to give it a C+, but still, Marcus, a C+ SmackDown is like a, compared to Raw, it's like an A+ show.
Yeah, well, I agree with that because, you know, I just had a discussion with some fans on a pro wrestling group, and a lot of the fans were saying, oh, fans are never really happy. Raw's fine, and, it's okay, it's not great, but, you know, every fan finds something to complain about. And I made a very salient point. I said, look, here's the problem. No one is saying that Raw doesn't have a good lineup. No one's saying that. Two or three of my favorite wrestlers are on Raw. They got a great lineup. They got a brilliant lineup. But nobody cares about them. It's like saying we have great actors in this movie and the movie sucks. Well, you're not going to be able to save those actors. You can hire two or three very popular actors to be in a movie about three guys standing around watching two old men play chess and nobody's watching it for 2.5 hours. I don't care how brilliant the acting is. You're going to say, well, I don't care about the character. The character's dumb. You know how many times I've heard that in a movie? Well, this guy's a brilliant actor, but his character was dumb. And the things he did in the movie doesn't really make any sense. So they lost me because the characterization was poor and his motivation was poor and the scriptwriter was terrible. So I didn't like the movie. Okay. You know, a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, big Jason Statham fan, and he said to me, as much as I like Jason Statham, I hated Crank so much, I was hoping he would get killed. That's how bad it was. I was actually rooting for the bad guys because it's just dumb, and it was so insurmountably dumb that I'm just like, God, just let me forget this. That's very interesting because that's kind of like what Raw is. You may love Drew McIntyre. You may love Bobby Lashley. You may love AJ Styles or any of these other people that are in there. But you don't love what they're doing with them, so you're just like, God, I don't care. That's the problem. I just don't care. What's making me care about the AJ Styles almost tag team? What's making me care about that? Nothing. What's making me care about one more shot for Drew McIntyre? Nothing. It's making him look like a whiner, to be perfectly honest. I never got a fair chance. I want another one. I never got a fair chance. I want another one. God almighty. He's supposed to be the face. It's Lashley who's looking brave, saying, well, if you can get by these people and earn it, I'll fight you again. That shouldn't be the case. All the motivations are wrong. We don't care about anybody on Raw. That's the problem. And it's not the wrestlers we don't care about. It's their characters. Yeah, let's get that straight. I care a lot about what they're doing with AJ Styles. He's my favorite wrestler. I care a lot about what they're doing with Bobby Lashley. I really, and MVP, because I really think that they could do something great with them. I care a lot about a lot of the people on Raw, but I don't care about their characters. And that's where they go wrong, Todd. Is there any character on Raw that you're really thinking they're handling correctly?
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's the good wrestlers, but I just don't like the way they're handled as their characters. And, you know, it's like with Drew McIntyre, I want another match. I want another match. After match, after match.
How many chances do you get? And see, this is the thing that bothers me the most about that. I hate when they do that to the faces. I hate when the faces say, well, this is my fifth match against a heel, and this time I won. Okay, well, then that means your record is, you know, 1 out of 5. So you're batting 20% against this guy. 80% of the time, he kicks your ass. So how does that make you a hero? I don't like it. I don't like it. See, I would have much rather Drew McIntyre came in that ring and said, you know and I know that I got ripped off. And you and I know you didn't pin me. And you and I know that it was my finisher that finished off Braun Strowman. We all know that. Every fan knows that. I also know that I'm at the bottom of the pack now. I don't get another title shot until I earn it. I get it. Here's the bad news. I'm going to earn it. And that's bad news for you, and that's bad news for anybody else that I fight in the coming weeks, because I am going to earn it. And when I do, it's just going to be me and you. And I think you know that you can't beat me. Then that would be like, okay, great. We're going to see a focused Drew McIntyre. We're going to see a bunch of matches with him. Maybe MVP is going to try to interfere in some way or have Lashley interfere in some way so he doesn't get that number one contendership. There were so many you see, there used to be great writers. Let me harken back to something I watched the other day. Remember when Vince McMahon tossed Stone Cold Steve Austin out of the Royal Rumble and technically won the Royal Rumble? And then announced he was going to forfeit his right to go to WrestleMania to fight the champion, who at the time was The Rock. Stone Cold, he said, I will pick a suitable replacement. Stone Cold Steve Austin appeared on the Titantron with Shawn Michaels. And he said, I'm going to WrestleMania, Vince, and I'm going to WrestleMania to fight the champion. And Vince is like, no, in case you don't remember, I tossed you over these ropes. I'm the winner. So I get to say. And Shawn Michaels said, yeah, well, I'm the commissioner. And I've been looking at the rules. And the rules say that if the winner cannot compete or will not compete or chooses not to compete, the runner-up then gets all of his rights and privileges. Well, the runner-up was Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vince. So the minute you signed those papers, you put Steve Austin as the number one contender at WrestleMania. And Vince McMahon's face, you know, tugging his ear, saying, I did what? What? Hey, that's good writing. Because guess what? They had it planned in advance. Vince is going to toss you out. It's going to look like Vince is going to win the day. And then you're going to come back with a stipulation. These are all good writing things. They don't have this anymore. They're literally at Raw going, what are we going to do this week? I don't know. How about so-and-so fight so-and-so? Good enough. What do we got coming up for the pay-per-view? You just go out and attack so-and-so, and that'll be a match for the pay-per-view. Just go sneak attack so-and-so. It's the laziest writing I have ever seen. It's the laziest booking I have ever seen. They're not trying to flesh out anybody's characters. They're not trying to make the characters multidimensional. They're all just one-dimensional. Drew McIntyre's entire character is, if I'm not the champion, if I'm not the champion, I'm nothing. Okay, well, then what are you going to do when he's not the champion? So that's dumb. You're also doing it with Bobby Lashley. If I'm not the champion, I'm nothing. Well, what are you going to do when Bobby Lashley finally loses? You better think about these things. You got to flesh their characters out more. So they are something without the belt. This is the problem. This is the problem. You've never explained why AJ Styles and Almost got together. You're just saying, well, AJ Styles went out and found a big monster because he's so scared he can't win on his own. Really? Well, I don't know. That's AJ Styles, man. How many friggin' belts did he win? And he's scared he can't win against what? This crowd of people? How come he was never scared about that before? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. So you had to figure out, you had to let the fans know, why did AJ Styles pick this guy? What is their relationship? How did they meet? What technically are they all about? We didn't even know what Almost is all about. He just gets in the ring, he goes, and clubs people. It's not enough motivation. We got to know what they're about. They're even doing it on SmackDown. Why would somebody's commander settle for less than the championship himself. He's not the guy's bodyguard. He's not Apollo Crews' bodyguard. He's supposed to be his commander. So why doesn't the commander have a belt? He's an underling, right? Apollo Crews would be an underling. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. None of this really makes any sense. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Okay, they're friends, but now they're mortal enemies, but you should have played this up a little more. You should have had Kevin Owens say, I don't know what Sami Zayn is going through. But he's going through something really bad. And he's my best friend, and he's always been my best friend. And I'm trying to help him. I'm trying to snap him back into reality, and what does he do? He attacks me. And I'm getting tired of it, and I'm telling you right now, you know, he's starting to press my buttons. I wish he would just be the old Sami Zayn. That way, at least you'd feel a little sympathy for Kevin Owens. I don't feel any sympathy for him at this point. And I don't feel anything for Sami Zayn because it's just dumb now. I have a documentary still coming out. Well, how come the camera people ain't out then? What happened to them? You say you finished shooting and yet you still say, well, we're still in production. Well, there's no camera people here anymore. None of what you're doing makes any sense. None of it. You got a women's division that consists of a girl who constantly is saying, I could never get it done and I was always picked on. Well, I think that's wrong. I think she should come out and say, here's the problem. I was always the best athlete in school. I was always the one winning the prizes. I was always the one bringing home the trophies. I was always the one getting the first prize ribbon. And I got spoiled. And I got used to it. And then I went into wrestling, and I learned very quickly, I'm not the best. And I'm going to have to work really hard to be the best. And now this belt says I am. And I'm not losing that. I'm not losing that to Bayley. That's for sure. Then we'd say, well, that makes sense. But for somebody with her capabilities to say, I was picked, I doubt it. I mean, you're coming one step short of just saying because I'm black, I was discriminated against. You're coming one step short of it. And don't give me that nonsense. Because the wrestling fans don't want to hear that. And Bayley has done nothing in this feud. What has she done? Attacked her a couple times and laughed at her. I mean, you could have made Bayley much more fleshed out. You could have had Bayley said, I was in the same spot as you. I came in here naive and like a little girl thinking everything was going to be wonderful and roses, and I did well for a while. But guess what? I didn't last. And I realized pretty quick you got to change your attitude around here if you want to succeed long term, honey. So you've got the belt now. But you don't have the attitude to last around here long term. Then at least it would have been interesting, and you say, well, okay, there's some things here going on. Nothing's going on. It's like it's written by a third grader. I'm going to come out and laugh in your face, and you're going to get mad and say, it hurts when somebody laughs in my face. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, that's really bad. And we don't know why Otis is following Gable. Oh, well, I'm just going to teach you how to win. Well, has he won? No. This is the problem with all of WWE. At least the Roman Reigns thing makes sense to an extent, to a decent extent, enough so we can buy into it. Nothing else on either show makes any damn sense. So we don't care about the characters, folks. Anyway, Alexa Bliss going to win. Todd, I'm sure you're going to agree with me. Alexa Bliss winning this thing tonight?
Absolutely. Well, like you said about Vince.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way she could possibly lose this match. Let's go to Seth Rollins and Cesaro. There's no reason for me to think that Seth Rollins is going to win this match. What would be the reason? I can't think of any. He cycled Cesaro up to go for the title. He lost. Now you're going to cycle him down? You cycled him up like a rocket ship. You're going to cycle him back down? No, I don't think so. And Seth Rollins' character is 100% just treading water until they change it. I'm telling you, that's what they're waiting for, unless they're idiots. Unless they're idiots, which they might be. But if you're ever going to get a thing out of Seth Rollins, you're going to get it out of him through this Becky Lynch angle, because, as Mike has said a million times, eventually Becky Lynch is going to come back, and I would imagine that she's going to get a huge ovation. And everyone knows that she's Seth Rollins' wife, and everyone knows that's their baby. And at some point, you would think that that has to rub off on Seth Rollins, and you're going to have to make him a face. So I think Seth is just treading water until they do that, Mike. So I'm going to say Cesaro wins this again.
I think he loses again, and it's sad because he is one of my favorite wrestlers, just like he is yours. He should have been, you know, they should have made more of him, more out of him sooner. I mean, they gave him different things, and he made almost three tag teams, if you want to count the thing he had with Hager, you know.
Right.
The Real Americans. He made that thing, almost dragging Hager at the time, who was Swagger, at the time to being a face from being a heel. Then they put him with Sheamus, and, well, there's the bar for you. And then they put him with Nakamura, and they made something semi-big out of that. So, I mean, and of course they had the Cesaro section, which they ended up killing somehow, which they shouldn't have done, because everybody could see where that was headed. I mean, that could have been a big seller. Cesaro section signs, T-shirts, all kinds of things, and they didn't do anything with it. So he's going to lose.
Exactly right. And, you know, Paul, well, I'm saying I think he might win, because I don't know what they'll do with Seth Rollins. Well, if Seth Rollins wins, big deal. Who's he going to go against next? Old bad guy's got the belt, so he's not going against them. So I think they might let Cesaro win. But even if they do, you're right. They should have done this a lot earlier. And truthfully, if you're going to be pressing Cesaro, you may as well turn a negative into a positive, which means that you can't have Cesaro grab a mic and try to do a long promo about why he's going to win. You got to have his enemies come out and say, hey, Cesaro, you know why? You know why you're not on the top of the roster? I'll tell you why you're not at the top of the roster, because you're as plain can be. Oh, you're talented. You're a great athlete. You got all the skills when it comes to in the ring, but you're boring. You pick up the microphone and the people switch the channel. And until you understand that you got to do more than wrestle to carry this company, you're never going to be anything. Then people would say, well, shit, man, he told them the truth. This is going to be a good feud. No, now that they're just doing weird stuff, like, I am against what you stand for. What does he stand for? I've never heard Cesaro say he stands for anything. It's so dumb. It's just so dumb. So unfortunately, could Cesaro lose this? Yeah, he could. Maybe they're going to build up something with Seth Rollins, but it's doubtful. I mean, look what they did with Seth Rollins, saying, if you don't do something about this family thing, I'm going to do something. It went nowhere. I figured Seth Rollins would be the next guy on the block for Roman Reigns. I figured Seth is due for a face turn, and then it's going to be all about him and Roman Reigns. Nope. They dress him in a weird suit and call him the Drip King or something. Oh, I don't even know what the hell it is. Whoever came up with that, fire them immediately, because they're idiots. Aside from that, we don't have a lot on this pay-per-view. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. There is no question in my mind that Charlotte Flair will be champion soon. Rhea Ripley has been an abject disaster. It's not really her fault, but some of it is. She has been given the opportunity to use the mic. She's terrible. I don't know how come she wasn't terrible in NXT, but she's terrible in WWE on the mic. She also looks very wooden and stiff, and she's not really – every single move she's doing, she looks like she's practicing doing instead of actually doing it. I don't know what's going on with Rhea Ripley. I've seen this happen to a couple of people who come up from NXT. where they just don't seem comfortable. None of the problems that they're having in WWE did they have in NXT. And it's just real weird to watch. But I'm watching Rhea Ripley, and I'm not impressed. If I didn't know Rhea Ripley at all, which I imagine half the audience probably doesn't, if I didn't know what Rhea Ripley was capable of in an NXT ring, and you just brought her in like this, I would say, this girl's a stiff. Get rid of her. Or cycle her down or something, because she's not a top person. Now, I know she's capable of being a top person. I don't know what the hell's going on. Suddenly she comes to WWE, she can't get nothing right. And I'm going to be honest with you. People are getting a little bit sick of Charlotte Flair. She's a great athlete. She's very good on the mic. But unfortunately, she has not changed her persona or her character in so long that it's starting to get really old. She needs a complete personality makeover. Remember, the most successful wrestlers did that all the time. Triple H used to be the blue blood, and he wore the ruffled shirts and bowed, and then all of a sudden he was the, a badass, and then he was Degeneration X, and then he was the Authority, and he keeps changing. He kept changing who he was. The Undertaker was the Dead Man, and he was an American Badass. They kept changing. They knew it was getting stale, and they said, let me get a personality makeover here. Let me change a little bit. Charlotte Flair has not changed. Even when she's a face, she's not changed. And she's going to have to change because the fans are getting sick of it. That's the problem. Now, having said that, I think Rhea Ripley is going to retain the belt, but I think she's not going to beat Charlotte Flair. I don't know whether it's going to be a double countout or a disqualification or whatever it's going to be. I don't think she's losing the belt tonight. But she is eventually losing the belt. So I will say this. I don't know who's going to win, but I'm going to say that Rhea Ripley retains the belt, Mike.
I'm going to say Charlotte Flair wins just because it would fit, because ever since she's come back, they're giving everything on silver platter. Everybody's selling to her, even though They may or may not sell to everybody else, and this is just the culmination of them kissing her ass, thinking that if we give her everything, she's gonna re-sign with us. She's gonna win.
See, I think what they might have done, though, is I think they might have said, "Hey, Charlotte, here's the deal. You're eventually gonna win. You're eventually getting what you want," which is the title. He's not getting it at this pay-per-view. Maybe SummerSlam. Something a little bigger, a bigger stage. And, of course, Charlotte would say, well, that's great. Get to win it on a bigger stage with fans there and everything. Yeah, you know, I'll go for that. So I think they might have promised her that. So I think this is like a warm-up match to their big match. So I don't think it's going to change. I don't think any belts are changing hands on this pay-per-view. I just don't. Todd, what do you think? Who do you think is going to win between Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley tonight?
I'm going to go with Charlotte Flair, not winning the belt, but probably get this won by disqualification or a count out, one of those two.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. I think that Charlotte might win. She's not going to win the belt. Or Rhea might win, but she's not going to pin Charlotte Flair. There's going to be some kind of shenanigans that build up for a bigger match. So I think that's, you know, it's much more likely than not. We'll see, though. Mike might be right. Maybe they just want to give her the belt right away. Because, I mean, they could do that and still have the big rematch, I guess, at SummerSlam. So whatever. Or maybe they want SummerSlam to be Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. I warn you, here's the problem. When live fans come back to this arena, I don't know how you're going to do some of this stuff with Alexa Bliss. Yeah, you can do the pyro on the ring apron, but how are you going to do all the other stuff? You're not going to be able to. And this is a big problem. I told you it was the same problem when Matt Hardy was doing his Woken Matt Hardy thing. You can never do it live. So when you're watching him on these cinematic matches and he's doing Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, flipping into trees and things, you're like, how come he can't flip on the turnbuckle then? How come he can't do that? How come he can't fall out of the ring and turn into the other Matt Hardy? There's so many things that you just like, this is dumb, and that you can't pull it off live. And they're going back to live. This is it. This is the last pay-per-view before live. And boy, is this going to be interesting. I am licking my chops waiting for that first live SmackDown and that first live pay-per-view, because the fans are going to let the WWE know who they really want and who is really working and who the WWE has this delusion is working. Fans will be very vocal about this. I mean, they've been cooped up for how long? They've been away from it for how long? Wait. Just you wait. Should be pretty interesting, Mike, when the real fans get back to the arena.
Yes, it should be very interesting. I mean, we're seeing bits and pieces of that, especially with other federations like SWE and like AEW. You know, they're letting Cody and them know what they want, right? They're letting,
yeah.
You know, and basically, and we'll get into I won't get into this a little, because I got a chance to watch the latest SWE thing. And what they're doing with Charlie Haas and them, great idea.
Right.
But, hey, we can get in a little while. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting when they actually do go live again. And especially on Raw, when the fans show up and either be quiet, where they hear nothing, or just boo incessantly, or start the whole,
right.
Because they're bored with it. Start the whole, you know, CM Punk, or something to that effect, you know.
It should be extremely interesting. Now, Derek is agreeing with you guys that Charlotte's going to win. I'm the only guy that says Rhea Ripley's going to win tonight. I think she's going to win somehow. But we also had a guy text me and ask, you said that Roman Reigns was going to flip face. How in the world are you going to flip Roman Reigns face? At this stage, almost impossible. No, it's not. You know how you flip them face? You have Paul Heyman bring in Brock Lesnar, totally decimate Roman Reigns, and say, did you honestly think in your wildest dreams that I would choose you over Brock Lesnar, the beast incarnate, the conqueror? You're nothing compared to him. Yeah, I made some money off of you. Because you're stupid, you're a stupid guy. I knew I could lead you down the road or whatever. And then when he has that come to Jesus moment where he says, I betrayed my family. I thought I was head of a table, but I want everybody to understand every single thing I did because I thought it was the best thing for my family. And now I look back at it and I say, what the hell did I do? I lost my dignity. I lost my respect. I lost everything. And I lost my family. And that's Paul Heyman's fault. And then if Jay and Jimmy stand beside him and say, look, we all made the mistakes. Everything's forgiven. And he's going to say, no, it's not forgiven until I beat Brock Lesnar. Then it will be forgiven. Fans will root for him. Fans will absolutely root for him. Anybody can be turned face. Anybody can be turned heel. Anybody. You just need a good enough writer to write the situation where the fans will sympathize with you or hate you for what you did. That's all. You can turn anybody face or heel. It's just not that hard. You just got to manipulate the fans. So, yeah, they'll turn Roman face eventually, maybe by WrestleMania or maybe just after WrestleMania. Who knows? Anyway, let's go to KO versus Sami Zayn. Did we not see this match a bunch of times? Did it ever live up one time? Did it live up to what they did years ago? No, because the WWE won't let them. I'm not going to let them tonight either. Sami Zayn is a speed bump in the WWE parking lot. They got no plans for him. He's just somebody who takes up a little bit of TV time and is entertaining enough so that they can get away with pulling him out there. But they got no plans for him. None. So why would he win? He would win to take on who? Who's next on the Sami Zayn Express when he's lost to everybody? Apollo Crews? Anybody want to see that match? Raise your hand. You want to see Sami Zayn, Apollo Crews? Nobody. It's not going to happen. He's losing again. And it's probably not even going to be that great of a match because they're mailing it in as it is now because they realize, I think both of these guys realize, we're never, ever going to be able to do the matches we're capable of. So why even bother? We'll just do what they want us to do. We'll go home. That's probably what you're going to see. I'm not too excited about this match. Could I be wrong? Could Sami Zayn win? Maybe, but I just only if they're going to continue this feud. And God, how many times? So, Mike, I think I'm going to go with Sami Zayn on this. I mean, I'm going to go with KO on this one.
I got to go with KO as well. And the fact of the matter is I don't know what the status of Zayn's contract is, but I know that KO just recently resigned. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he could, Peacock or NBC or Universal could come to them and say, hey, we're going to, or whoever it is that the rumors say that is going to buy the WWE could say, well, you're paying Kevin Owens what and you're doing with him what, you know, and we're trying to cut costs again, so. Bye-bye, Kevin Owens. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, as of right now, it's going to be KO.
Yeah, you know, you got an interesting dilemma with Kevin Owens. Because, again, I think you need a character reboot on Kevin Owens. He's just coming out now with the same old thing he's always come out with. He's gotten old. He's gotten stale. Not his wrestling hasn't. He's still every bit as good a wrestler as he ever was. It's just that the character itself has gotten stale because of the way you've used him. So now you, as writers, have to come up with something that you say, this is going to make Kevin Owens fresh again. Tagging with Big E ain't it. Feuding with Big E ain't it. You've got to come up with something. Now, my suggestion, if you really want to cause some controversy, is to flip Kevin Owens, have him get back with Sami Zayn as a tag team, have him do this whole conspiracy theory since the day we were in here routine, have KO say, I was blind, I was wrong, Sami was right all the time. It's all about these people keeping us back. That's why I'm not the champion. That's why Sami's not the champion. And we're tired of people thinking we're conspiracy theorists. We're tired of people thinking that we're crazy. We're just going to take what we want, and they're not going to be able to stop us. United we stand, divided we fall. So together, me and Sami can take this place by storm. And you got a great tag team. You got a really, really, really solid tag team. Then at least he'd be fresh again. It's better than what's happening now. Because where's KO going to go from here? He's going to fight Roman Reigns anytime soon? No. The Apollo Crews thing is done. He's not going to fight him how many more times? So it's done. It's all finished. There's nothing more for KO past this feud that I can see, except to be cannon fodder for people you want to build up, like Commander Aziz or whatever. Forget it. Let him go back with Sami. Then it would be interesting again, and those two could cut some really good promos together. I'd go for that in a heartbeat. It's better than anything they've got going on so far. Bayley and Bianca Belair. It's just too soon to have Bianca Belair lose the belt. I mean, it's just too soon. It's way too soon. She loses now, she looks like a flash in the pan who got lucky. And that's not exactly the way you're promoting her. So she's going to have to beat Bayley. This hurts Bayley a lot, though. And I'll tell you, Bayley has really been – you have made Bayley over to an extent. You've made her character a little more interesting, but now you're going to bury her with she's not worthy of title contention anymore, so I don't know where her next feud is even. It's real odd the way the WWE works with that. They don't think ahead of time to say what happens past this person losing or being taken out of title contention because they lost to champions. you always have to have a backup. You always have to say, yes, you're not winning, but that's because we're going to be starting this major thing with you and so-and-so. Or you're going to have a change of character, or you're going to do this, or you're going to do that. There's got to be a plan. The WWE never has that. It's just like, well, they lost. That's right. What do we do with them now? I don't know. Just have them come out and attack somebody, and that'll be their next feud. Well, fans are getting sick of that. Fans want some actual motivation of why. Now, what would be interesting tonight is maybe to see the return of Sasha Banks. Because then you could potentially say the next thing along the line could be a three-way dance or whatever. There are things you could do with that. So maybe that's what we'll see. But you got to think ahead, and you got to say, where is this going without totally damaging somebody's character? Now, this Commander Aziz giving people this thumb that basically paralyzes them, well, that comes out of nowhere. I mean, how are you ever going to defend against it? And if that's if you're playing it up to be that big of a deal, I don't want to see nobody kicking out of it then. I don't want to see it. And I do know this. You got a really, really big guy there. And even in a tag team match, you got to understand he's wearing clothing too. He's wearing fairly heavy clothing underneath hot lights. He's in the ring for 2 minutes. He's sweating. I thought he was going to collapse. He's not doing 20 minutes. He's not doing 10 minutes. I promise you, not unless half of that 10 minutes is a rest hold. There is no way that guy is doing 10, 15 minutes in that ring. So you're going to be having little short matches and short feuds and things. And what's it going to be with Kevin Owens and Big E? Nobody wants to see it. And Big E, unfortunately, is the odd man out. There's nothing at all for Big E. They have nothing for him. They said, you're going to be a huge solo star. We're going to put you in the New Day from you and put you in a solo program. And then they pulled the belt away from him, and now what's he doing? I'm tagging again, only I'm tagging with Kevin Owens. Are you crazy? That's what you had for him, nothing? Why'd you pull him away then? See, that's the problem with the WWE. They do stuff for no reason and then say, we bit ourselves in the ass. Doesn't matter. Just forget it. Nobody's into him anymore anyway. Yeah, we're not into him because you're doing nothing with him. Big E could have been a huge star. Big E's got all the charisma in the world. He's extraordinarily good on the microphone. He's very, very good in the ring. Hell, the match he had with Sheamus in the parking garage was awesome. Awesome. But you were too quick to put your eggs in the basket of Apollo Crews. Oh, we gave him a new character, and we got a big guy with him, so give him the belt. So, what are you going to do with Big E? Oh, yeah, we forgot. We don't really have anything for him, do we? Oh, well. Instead of saying, Big E's going to lose the belt, but we're starting this huge feud with so-and-so. No, you didn't do anything like that. Nothing. It's a shame. Who wins tonight, KO or Sammy Todd?
I gotta go with KO.
I agree with you. Kevin Owens will win. So I think that leaves us with just one final match, and that's Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. I don't see Bobby Lashley losing this belt. I don't see any belts changing hands tonight, folks. I just don't. And there's no real suspense even. It's not even like, it could happen. You're like, So I don't know. And I don't know if they're going to add any matches. I'm sure they're going to add at least one to the pre-show, but I don't know what that match is going to be. And by the way, the last couple of weeks on Raw, we didn't even see – I know that Sheamus is hurt, but, man, are we going to see something furthering something? Are you going to play up that injury a little more than you did with just 1 week of him being on the microphone? Play it for all it's worth. If something happens, run with it. Run with it as hard as you can. That's what you did way back in the era when Vince McMahon screwed Bret Hart, supposedly. Still say to this day, Bret Hart's wrong. Vince McMahon wasn't wrong. When your boss tells you to lose the belt, you lose the belt. You're in no position to say, I will, but not to this person. No, you're not in that position. The money, you took the contract, you do what you're told. But irregardless, Vince McMahon was the villain in this situation, and Vince said, well, as long as I'm going to be the villain, and now everybody knows I own the Federation and everything, I'm going to run with it, and I'm going to start this Mr. McMahon character, and boy, did that work. So you should know by now, when something happens, run with it, no matter what it is. So run with the Sheamus injury. Run with it. Maybe this is a good opportunity to turn him face. Who knows? Anyway, short of both members of the New Day coming down and beating the hell out of Drew McIntyre, costing him the belt, and joining MVP, I don't know if there's anything all that interesting about this match. I really don't, and I don't think that's going to happen, by the way. I think they're going to play this out longer. And I think exactly what we said on this program is going to happen. I don't think it's Kofi who's turning. I think it's going to be Xavier. Or maybe both. But again, if Bobby Lashley loses the belt, the guy who wrote to me was right. He says, if Bobby Lashley loses the belt, why would New Day ever want to join? What would be the point? They'd say, well, you're not a successful manager. Drew McIntyre took the belt from your guy. And why would Kofi at this point just want to join, or even Xavier just one and not the other one, when there'd be no opportunity for them to get the belt because MVP's own guy has the belt? You're not going to get a shot against MVP's other client. So a lot of this doesn't make a ton of sense. But I'm going to go with Lashley. I just don't see Drew McIntyre winning this belt, Mike. I think he's probably going to get drafted to Raw.
Right, and that's the thing. And frankly, it doesn't make sense because you still got in the back of your mind, everybody on this show probably has in the back of their mind that at some point Lesnar's coming back and there's your money match. Lesnar and Lashley, there's your money match, right? With a possibility of having Heyman become the most powerful guy in, you know, in the in any of the WWE's federations, right?
Well, you
so,
see, it's an interesting because you got two ways to look at it. If you're going to get Brock Lesnar back, now you have to sit down with your writers and say, what is our best way to use him? Do we use him to go against Lashley and, like you said, possibly have Brock Lesnar win and now Paul Heyman is the most powerful manager on both brands and he's really playing that up? Or do we use him to come in and screw Roman Reigns and have Paul Heyman go back with him and have that big match of, you know, with Paul Heyman as Brock Lesnar's, you know, manager again? Either one is money. Either one is money. So you'd have to weigh that carefully. And the way you do that is to say, well, what's in the future? Let's say Brock Lesnar wins against Bobby Lashley. What's in the future? Do we turn MVP and Lashley face? Who else is going against Lesnar after this? What do we got planned for? Is there going to be a champion versus champion with Roman Reigns at some point? What are we going to do? Tell me what the future is past Brock Lesnar beating Lashley. Then let's do the opposite. What do we do with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar? Does Brock not want to work a big schedule and it's just going to be Roman Reigns is going to emerge victorious and Paul Heyman's out of a job? Then what do we do with Paul Heyman? If he betrays Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar loses, where's Paul Heyman go? All that stuff has to be worked out before you decide what you're going to do with Brock. Now, you got two really good storylines you could use Brock in. Both of them are money. But you got to figure out what's happening to the to everyone involved after the fact, regardless of who wins. Regardless of who wins. If you're just bringing Brock Lesnar back to lose to Lashley, there's no point. There's no point. It does nothing for Heyman. It does nothing for – it maybe do a little bit for Lashley, but doesn't do anything for Heyman, and it doesn't do anything for Brock. If you bring him back to win, okay, what happens with MVP and Lashley? Same thing with Roman Reigns. If you're bringing him back to beat Roman Reigns, I guess you can flip Reigns' face, but then where do we go from here? Another rematch or something's going to happen? If it's a one-shot and Reigns actually wins, did you shoot yourself in the foot by turning him face too soon? And what are you going to do with Paul? So those are the questions, Mike, that has to be answered before you decide what you're going to do with Brock Lesnar.
Right. But we've already said that after they decide on those questions, right, 1, 2, 3, and 4, what do you want to do? And, yeah, you're basically, if Brock comes back and does win the championship, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. From Lashley, what do you do with Lashley? And will you be able to rehab him fast enough to get his rematch, right? Because you want to see that. That's the thing you want to see is that you want two things you want to see. You want to see those promos between Heyman and MVP, right? And the second thing you want to see is, if Lesnar does win a champion versus champion match where you're not sure whose side Heyman's going to be on.
I agree you could play it that way. You could play it that way. You could play with Brock Lesnar saying, I want to be the only champion, and I want a champion versus champion match. And Roman Reigns saying, that's what I want to give it to me. And Paul Heyman saying, and then he's caught in the middle. What will I do? What exactly will I do? Now, we played an angle like this in a federation that I was working in where we did it with a throw in the towel match where that person was a very, very, very close friend of one of the wrestlers who handed her the towel and she technically was the girlfriend of the other one. And so the fans were left saying, who's she ever going to throw the towel in? Because the one guy said, if you really love me and you really, really respect me, you would never throw the towel in and cost me this the most important match of my life. And anyone who says they love me would never throw that towel in. And the other person involved said, you know, I'm right. And you know your boyfriend is wrong. And if you throw that towel in when you know that I'm winning just to screw me, you've went back on everything that you've ever said in our friendship. And fans were really riveted to it because they're like, what's she going to do, the poor girl? Either way, she's going to lose something. She's either going to lose her fiancé or her best friend. Well, that would be the case with Paul Heyman, where Paul Heyman would say, if you ever did a throw in the towel match, it's a submission only. Throw in the towel match or something, then you say to yourself, oh, God, Paul's in a bad situation. What's he going to do? Is he going to betray Roman? Is he going to betray Brock? Is he going to play it down the middle? What's he going to do? So there are things you could do with that. Creative writers could get together in a room and really just talk about this for hours. See, that's the thing. But they don't. Feels like they just show up Monday night at 4 o'clock and say, what are we doing? I don't know. Okay, well, we got everybody here. I don't know. Let's do so-and-so. What did we do last week? We had so-and-so against so-and-so. Well, let's do that again this week. And then we'll do this. It's just terrible. I mean, there's no foresight. There's no going forward saying, oh, man, the ultimate payoff is coming 4 months from now. That's the way you write wrestling. You tell the fans, well, you keep going on this storyline and you'll see the ultimate payoff a few months from now, 3, 4 months, maybe longer, but you'll see it. Just stay with us. Nope, not WWE. Now, maybe they're doing it a little bit on SmackDown with the Roman Reigns thing. They're not doing that on Raw. Again, every single wrestling fan I asked, with the exception of one or two who will never be happy and think everybody sucks unless they're CM Punk, you ask him, do you think Drew McIntyre is a good wrestler? Oh, absolutely. Very good wrestler. Very skilled. Very good at what he does. Very good on the mic. Okay. You think Bobby Lashley is good? Well, he's not as good, maybe. But, yeah, he's an intimidating figure. He's got some legit credentials. And he's got MVP on the mic, so that helps him. And, yeah, man, you know, he's good. I enjoy watching him. Okay. Then why don't you want to see Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley? Because I already know what's going to happen, and it's boring. See, that's because you didn't set this up right. And snapping a table in half with a sword is not going to help. You need to make sure that people really, really want to see someone win and really, really want to see someone lose. And we don't have that in this match. Same way with Bayley and Bianca Belair. There's not a ton of people who would care one way or the other. Again, I ask every fan I ran into, do you care? If Bayley wins tonight, is that going to make a big difference in WWE SmackDown? Nah, not really. Okay. Well, then there's two championship matches. If Charlotte Flair wins, they're going to make a big difference? Nah, not really. Okay. All three of your championship matches doesn't make no difference who wins. That's a big problem. Now, if you ask those same fans, would it matter if Rey Mysterio won, they're going to be like, well, hell yeah, it would matter. It would destroy Roman Reigns' credibility. It would destroy the angle. It would destroy this or that. Oh, it matters then, huh? See, that's the thing. And then you'd have the fans say, well, yeah, it actually matters if Rey doesn't win, because then we know Rey was sort of looks like he's unable to defend his own family and it's going to knock him down a lot of pegs. Yeah, but at least you care, right? That's the problem. You only cared about one match and you gave that match away for free. It's a shame. It makes me think the WWE has something big planned tonight, though. And I'm putting my faith in that, that the WWE said if we take away the main event, and it had to be the main event, of Hell in a Cell, we better have something big for these fans tonight. So something big has to happen. I don't know whether it's the return of someone. I don't know whether it's a huge double cross or a huge angle. Something's got to happen tonight. Because, Mike, if this pay-per-view goes off just as a glorified cross between Raw and SmackDown, this is going to be a disaster.
It is going to be a disaster. Furthermore, just one more thing about the whole Paul Heyman deal. If you're angling for a champion versus champion match with Reigns and what's his name and Lesnar, hey, make it like you said, they throw in a towel match, and here's a twist to it. Have Heyman throw it in both towels after a long fight of them beating each other to a pulp and possibly even blading, you know. Now, I don't know if Lesnar would. I guess Lesnar might blade. I don't know.
But, yeah, he would.
Yeah, I know if Roman Reigns was supposed to, he probably would blade. So, yeah, after a long match of them beating the crap out of each other and them blading, Heyman throws in both towels.
You could potentially do that. I mean, it's just, again, there's so many branches on the tree. There's so many things you could do. But then again, the WWE has another ace in the hole, don't they? If you're telling me as a writer, well, Marcus, we got Brock coming back, but we probably can get The Rock too. Well, then The Rock's got to be the one to fight Roman Reigns. There's no question. Let Brock go with Lashley and let Roman Reigns go with The Rock, because you've got a big story there. You got The Rock coming in saying, you think you're the head of the family? You think you're the one who's putting bread on the table? I guess you forgot about me, huh? I guess you forgot about what I accomplished in this federation, let alone what I accomplished outside the federation. And compared to me, you're a jabron, and you're sitting here talking like you're some big tough guy. You're sitting here talking like you're the head of some mafia. Talk to me. Talk to me about it. You know you'd get some great promos. So I'd run with that. I'd definitely say The Rock and Roman Reigns. If you can't get The Rock, then you'd have to really sit down and decide what is best for both brands going forward. Where do we put Brock and who do we put him against? No question. And what's our end game? How do we use them to the best of our advantage? See, this is what the WWE does not do. How do we use every ending to a match to our best advantage? How do we use this to further something else that's going to go on with this character? How does this victory play into something else that's going to happen for this character? How does this loss play into something that's going to happen for this character? Every match should have a meaning, unless it's a squash match, and even that has a meaning. Even that has a meaning. The meaning is, oh, my God, look what this guy can do to jabrons. So, really, every match should matter. Unfortunately, the WWE has the attitude that none of the matches matter except one or two that we have cherry-picked to be our main events, and the rest are just rehashed garbage. You know what it's like? It's like eating leftovers every goddamn night after you've had your main course. And you say, oh, boy, man, you roasted a turkey tonight, and then for the next six freaking days in a row, you're eating turkey. By the third day, you're like, I don't want to see a turkey again. Well, that's the problem. The WWE keeps serving up the leftovers, and you're like, I'm sick of this. It's the same damn thing night after night. Yeah, I like turkey. I don't want to eat it every goddamn night. That's the problem. And the WWE doesn't see it as a problem. I got news. When the live crowd comes back, look, the first night on SmackDown, that live crowd's going to cheer for everybody because they're just going to be so happy. They're going to be so happy to just be back. So I'm not even going to say the first night. But when it becomes a regular thing where you're live every week, oh, boy, I'm salivating at what the fans' reaction's going to be. Because I'm going to tell you a quick story. I had a real, honest-to-God argument with a wrestling trainer, a pro wrestling trainer, and a promoter who said, once again, fans have no right to criticize wrestlers unless they've been in the ring. And I said, they're the only people who have any right to criticize. They're the only people that care. You don't really win anything. If the New York Mets didn't have one fan, their job is still to win the World Series. Even if their stadium is empty, their job is still to win the World Series. What is your job if you have no fans? To win a belt that the promoter's going to give you? You didn't win it. There's no real prize to win in professional wrestling. You exist for one reason, to entertain the fans and no other reason. So don't sit here and tell me that the fans can't criticize you. They're the only ones you should be taking criticism for. Because if a guy in the back says your drop kick sucks and you need work on your super kick and you're not selling that well and fans are lining up in droves to see you, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. I'm worried about the future of professional wrestling because all these professional wrestlers are liking this guy's comment saying, oh, well, no, I stick by what I say. Really? Well, then that's what's wrong with professional wrestling, isn't it? You got a bunch of chuckleheads who think the fans don't count. Holy shit, you can't get stupider. And that's the WWE. Wait, because they're going to find out the fans do count. They're going to find out in a heartbeat. Because when there's crickets, when certain people come out, that they thought, oh, this guy's over as it can be, or there's boos when there's supposed to be cheers, or there's cheers when there's supposed to be boos, oh, boy. Are you in for a reality check? Now, in all fairness, this promoter says, well, I mean, I'm okay with fans saying they didn't like a show. That's their right. But they can't critique how good a wrestler is. Yes, they can. Yes, they can. I play the guitar. I sing. If somebody who doesn't play the guitar and sing says, I don't like the way he plays the guitar, it doesn't appeal to me, and I don't like his voice, it matters to me. I don't say, well, you don't play the guitar. How do you know I'm not playing it well? Well, because they just don't like it, though. And that is a problem if you're going to try to entertain somebody and they don't like that. So you're an entertainer. You're not an actual athlete in a sport that has an actual goal. You're not trying to win the World Series. You're not trying to win the Cup. You're not trying to win the Super Bowl. You're just trying to entertain the fans. That's all you're trying to do. That's your goal, your whole goal and your only goal. And if you do it by saying, the fans better not criticize me, well, boy, I don't know what to tell you then. You better not criticize any movie actor then. You better not criticize any way that a football coach plays the game because you're not a football coach. You've never been a football coach. You're not a movie actor. What movie you been in? It's so hypocritical, it's ridiculous. And this is what's killing professional wrestling. And Vince McMahon and company have gotten to that point where it's their own personal playground and they don't give a damn what the fans say. They proved it. The Fiend comes back and loses. The Fiend lost his first big match in Hell in a Cell. They didn't give a damn what the fans said. They knew the fans were going to be in an uproar. Seth Rollins himself said this is the wrong ending. They don't care. They think they're right because they don't have to hear that feedback. Boy, they heard the feedback in that Hell in a Cell, though, didn't they? And they quickly changed it and put the belt on the Fiend. which in itself was a mistake. He never got a title shot. But my point is, the WWE is quick to change it when they hear the voice of the fans rather than read it. And they're going to hear the voice of the fans. Anyway, what match are you most looking forward to tonight, Mike? I know there's a short list, but give me your lock of the pay-per-view.
You know what lock of the pay-per-view? Lashley wins and thus setting up one, the eventual switch to SmackDown by Drew McIntyre and the eventual, which we know is coming, match between Lashley and Lesnar.
Okay, that sounds reasonable enough. Todd, what's your lock of the pay-per-view, this pay-per-view?
Oh, man, there's a lot of great matches, sort of great matches. I'm going to go with Alexa Bliss and I forgot what her – Shayna
Baszler. I think there's a lot of great matches, but that's a safe bet. Alexa Bliss is winning. Okay. What match could steal the show? Probably Cesaro and Seth Rollins if they let them. KO and Sami Zayn could potentially steal the show if they let them. I don't know if they'll let them. I really don't know. Both of those matches are capable of stealing the show. By the way, this is a show that's easily stolen. So we'll see. Here is my thought, though. My final closing thought is this. If the WWE doesn't pull something big tonight to shuffle in the return of fans, to make fans say, oh, my God, can't wait to go see WWE Live now. I can't believe this happened. You failed. You failed. Because this pay-per-view is about nothing then. It's just a glorified Raw or SmackDown episode. That's all it is. You need tonight on your final pay-per-view in front of a Thunderdome audience, presumably forever, to make those fans say, I'm getting my ass off the couch and I'm going to see the WWE. That's your job tonight. That's your only job. Let's see if you can do it. Let's see if you got an ace in the hole or you just did absolutely no reason the main event of your own pay-per-view. I'm very interested to see which is the truth. We'll talk to you tomorrow with all the recap. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.